Welcome back to SIVO Sisters, where we demystify and diversify the field of anesthesiology, all within the duration of an anesthesia break. And this week, we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Candace Williams. She is a pain medicine physician who is blazing a trail called Music is Medicine into her pain practice. If you missed last week's episode, go ahead and tune in. She shares with us the unique challenges that she faced as a Black woman in medical school and within anesthesiology residency. In this episode, she shares with us the challenges she faced in the workforce. What do you do when you find out that OR anesthesiology really doesn't do it for you? Listen to what she does in response to this, and how when she tried to go back to OR anesthesiology, it really messed with her mental health. Listen to the steps she took to get her mental health back on track. The challenges she faced set up a foundation for her to blaze a trail to pursue a different area of addressing pain and incorporating her love of music. We're going to jump right in to the part of the conversation where she talks about her experience in her first job out of anesthesiology residency. Please enjoy.
You know, I was working at, I think what happened to me, and other people said this too, like, I worked at some places that weren't, I would say, I'm going to say they weren't the best, but they were like smaller hospitals and regional hospitals. I didn't stay academic. And so those places can be very, very tough, especially as a new attending. You got to know your resources. You got to know the, it doesn't have the same level of help. You call for help and it's just you, that kind of stuff. So I went through a lot of that. And, you know, I was like, wow, okay. I don't want to like totally quit this thing, but what else did I like? And I realized, you know, I didn't get a lot of exposure to pain. I took pain like after, you know, when you would have had to decide to apply for fellowship. I did pain like super late. So I just went and contacted the program director and was like, hey, you know, I graduated blah, year. I'm interested in it. And then they were like, oh, great. We have some, you know, outside of the match positions. And, you know, it just was, I just turned in some stuff and went. I had to say, I hate to say it was that easy, but that's what happened.
Wow.
Turned in some things and talked to them and then filled it in. Full spot. So it definitely worked out because I wanted something where I could learn a specialty, but it wasn't tied to the operating room. And really, pain is the only one where you can step out. Now, some people say, well, I went to anesthesia because I didn't want to deal with people, which is, yeah, that's the, everything else outside, that's the road. Right. You got to deal with the people.
Decided you wanted to do something that wasn't so tied to the OR, gave you a bit more flexibility. And I mean, it's this undercurrent theme of you being really good with your hands. So this seems like a great matchup. How did the fellowship year go?
Fellowship was pretty cool. It's weird because I straddled two classes because I was off track. So I was more in tune with the people who I started with, obviously, right? Than the people who came because then they were new. It was just weird, you know? But yeah, it was cool. Like I learned some things about myself. You learn what you like and what you don't like. I did not like inpatient pain service. That was not fun. You know, I was staying like late many nights running all those patients and I was like, yeah, this isn't it, but that's okay. I'm gonna do what I have to do. But it was enlightening. I liked the procedures. I liked learning all the technical things and just learning the specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the patient population there was interesting because we're in Santa Monica. I don't know if you're familiar with the West Side, but you know, you're talking about demanding. Oh, yeah. So that's a good practice. Very, very good practice. That's, you know, it's how pain patients are, right? So it gave a good, solid foundation.
And how did you manage to incorporate your love of music? I mean, you mentioned early on that you were in between music and medicine and you chose medicine first, but then music came back.
Well, so what the other part I didn't talk about is that I played music, you know, since I was a child, but off and on. And so I played in churches during college and I tried to keep that up. So I played a few churches and then my home church in LA, I kept playing through residency and all the things. So I kept playing every Sunday. And I wanted to do more with it. I wanted to actually kind of give that study time and those things to it like I did in medicine. And it's like, I'm still at the point where I'm like, okay, I need to do these things. But I ended up studying under a pianist that I admire and that is, you know, fantastic. I ended up doing some things that this was after residency. So once residency ended, I had a little bit of breathing room to start really delving into it. So the story is basically, I ended up taking a position someplace that didn't work out. It was in pain. I was there a year. It didn't work out in terms of like the personnel and me and just me being there. It just was not a fit. And so I gave it a solid year and I said, okay, well, I'm going to move back. I had my home already. I kept my home. I'm going to move back. So I moved back. And when I did, you know, I found it wasn't as much of a market for pain there. So I actually went back to the OR. So this is the thing. And this was the catalyst. And I went back to the OR and I told you about being an impact and 1 + 1 = 2. And at a certain point, I found myself, you know, just that and in despair and, you know, having existential thoughts about, oh, it's better if I wasn't here anymore and all that stuff. And I know that outside of medicine, I love my life, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I knew that. So I was like, wait a minute. Nope. This is not, you're not going to see me on the picture with the angel wings. I don't mean to be funny, but like, I just, oh, she was so great. No, I did not want to go out like that. So yeah. I said, well, something has to go and it's anesthesia. So, you know, my husband, you know, bless his soul because he has just been here from the very beginning before med school. Right. So he's been through all the ups and downs and he was like, what? You gotta quit. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm 5,000. I can't do it. And so it was supposed to be a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. It started as a sabbatical, right? And it was late 2019, like right when, you know, everything right before the shutdown. So I maybe was out a month. And then the world shut down, you know, all elective surgeries, everything. And then that's the time where I just took the time to literally pray and meet with the Lord and get in his face and finally make music, write songs, like do things that I've been wanting to do all that time that I kept putting it off. And so how I got to incorporating music is that during those times, you know, I started to write not just healing and relaxation music, but I started to write other types of music too. And eventually I realized, okay, I need to somehow incorporate music as medicine, because like I have chronic pain personally, and I have listened to my own songs, which sounds weird, to help myself feel better, right? And so it's like, how can I offer this to people? And so I'm at the point where I have thought about a number of things, and people have told me everything. You need to have a course, you need to be a coach, you need to this, you need to that. And I've had to go with what feels right kind of in my spirit and soul. So this summer, my plan is to do a telemedicine practice where I focus on lifestyle interventions for pain and also music as medicine. So it'll be telemedicine for patients in the state of California. That is my goal, to focus on the aspect of pain medicine that maybe in a traditional pain clinic, the doctors want to spend time on, but they don't have as much time to go in depth with the patient. That's my goal. So I'm in the midst, and this is in process and in progress as we speak. So,
oh, that is so incredible. Now, I love how you see how your music has helped you and changed you both mentally and physically, and you then applying that to offer that as a service. I think that's a real mashup with your talents and then also just sharing with what works for you, right? I mean, like everybody wants to be like, what's the inside scoop? You know, what worked? How is it that you're flourishing? Tell us the secret. So that's incredible. I love how too, that moment for you, that breakdown moment was a breakthrough, because finally now here comes music that you had at arm's length for so long because you didn't have time. Like, look how it really came into play. You had that gift to lean on during that really difficult time. I would like to know, you know, so many people have a lot of trepidations and fears, like, oh, well, you know, as physicians, we have trainings for everything, right? Like, I got to get another fellowship in this. I got to do that. And with the training that you have, you know, you feel comfortably fine with, you know, discussing lifestyle modifications. You don't have to go off and get a lifestyle medicine fellowship is my point.
Listen. And I you're touching on something very important. We love our gold star, right? We love our, okay, you know, I thought you were going down the route of, I don't want to lose my skills because, man, if I would be a billionaire if I heard that one more time. Of course, you don't want to lose skills that you want to use again.
That's right.
But that's the clarity. That's what the clarity that I have to come to is like, do I really want to step into this realm again? Is it adding to me? Is it subtracted to me? And at this point, because I'm at home, my kids are homeschooled. They're on online school, but they're homeschooled. One will be going in person. But now I'm around. Now it's not 24-hour call and missing my baby's first steps. These are real things that happen, right? Now it's not me feeling guilty as a mom. Why? Because I'm around. So it's like, do I want to change that in order to go back to say that I'm practicing or this and that? Or do I want to practice kind of on my own terms, which, you know, telemedicine practice is a practice, right? So it's all of that. In terms of like just making sure that it's not necessarily losing skills or going towards things that I don't truly want. It's just been important to just have clarity on what is really important to me and where is God leading me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have to repeat that because I've heard that so many times. People are like, I don't want to lose my skill. I don't want to lose my skill. And I think, frankly, it's a sunk cost fallacy. You spend so many years in training, you feel chained, you feel obligated to continue to practice in a way that perhaps really doesn't serve you. And by chaining yourself to that set of skills, you're limiting your options. See, the training is supposed to enhance, you know, your life and allow you to offer more than what you would without the training. But if you're finding that doing that or being in that environment, it breaks you down. I love how your story is an example that you can do something else. It's okay. And you can flourish and feel even better and feel fulfillment and make a bigger contribution in pursuing that path. So regards to the how you're going to incorporate music, I mean, you make music and then you're going to, you know, have this telemedicine practice. Would a prescription of yours be like, listen to my album, like you use it to help you? I mean, I'm so curious as to how this blend of music and medicine, how does that look practically?
It's really taking time out to concentrate and meditate, for lack of a better term, but with music as an aid. So think of it as like, you're going to make sure you take time out. If it's 15 minutes, if it's 20 minutes, if it's 30 minutes, you're going to make a practice of listening and breathing and focusing, right? And you can do it while you're at home. You can do it, you know, stationary. You can do it while you're walking, right, in nature, those types of things. So it's about making a daily practice of it, but also doing it when you feel your pain starting. So this is something when I said, well, I had to listen to, okay, so I have chronic neck pain. My theory is, of course, I try not to doctor myself, but I think I have posturogenic pain. Okay. It doesn't shoot down my arm. Okay. My neck is like click, click, click. Right. It's all the things. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes it's occipital or cervicogenic headaches come too. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I kind of feel, I hold tension there because I have scoliosis. Right. And this happens to a lot of people. When I feel those things coming on, how I use music is that before, just like a pill, before my pain is crazy, right? I'll put on music and I will relax and I will trust and tell my body, like, you know how to relax. You know, I will focus on relaxation. I will focus on good things. I will focus on good thoughts and just set that side of time, set time aside, no distractions, nothing else, just that. And it's, I don't know. It's like, I know it's like woo woo, but it's weird. It does help.
I mean, that's exactly what, like the mindfulness, that's a lot of what they try to incorporate in the workplace, but it's like not effectively. Right.
Well, so here's the thing. It's like the vagal, what they talk about the vagal theory and just with deep breathing too, right? And box breathing, you're increasing that vagal tone and just calming yourself down from a nervous system point of view. And it works for certain situations, but when you talk about wellness in the workplace, what happens with physicians and other people too, so I can't say it's not that, but I'm just speaking from a corporate medicine standpoint. There's a lot of moral injury there. There's a lot of just straight up abuse. It's like, see 20 to 30 to 40 people. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's next? It's like, it's like you're just passing all these people through. And we didn't sign up to practice medicine that way, right? I mean, we signed up because we cared about people. We didn't want to like just push them through some system and say, you get this, you get that, or you don't get this, goodbye. And so it's moral injury. It's taking away autonomy. It's things of that nature. Yeah. So it's taking away physicians' ability to choose and to do the things that we want to do in our professional lives. And that's why things like wellness and things like that, if you only do that, you don't do anything to change policies. That's why it doesn't work.
Right. It's just, exactly.
It's more like lip service. Like, oh, here's some pizza, to celebrate.
Right.
Physician's day, but it's like, but you cut my pay. I don't want you to.
You've just demonstrated courage so many times in your story. And I really appreciate that. And I think that that's a great modeling for a lot of our folks, because in many instances at that moment where you felt like harming yourself, some people just pop some pills for depression or what have you. And they think something's wrong with them. There's a beautiful quote that I love. I don't know who said it, but if a flower isn't blooming, you don't blame the flower. You look right at the environment. You change the environment. And so I'm so glad that that's what you did. Is there anything else you'd like to sort of share with the listeners in regards to your path or tips or advice for those, whether they want to pursue anesthesia or they're in anesthesia?
I will say that anesthesiology is an underrated specialty, and it's one that's not very understood, even by our colleagues.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people who think we just play Sudoku and we don't, right? I mean, I don't even know how to play Sudoku. Anyway, point being is that, if you want to do a specialty where you feel like you're the protector or the guardian of a patient start to finish, and you really take pride in that kind of work, it's a great specialty. Don't get me wrong. Just because I kind of care for the people a little too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm empathetic. So it got in my heart. Like, when bad things happen, it got in my soul a little bit too much. Whereas for other people, it's not that they don't care, but they're able to kind of carry on. And I just noticed, okay, this wore on me a little bit too much. Maybe I need to kind of shift gears. But I still think it's a great specialty. So I don't want to leave the conversation with like, it's like, no, it's a great specialty to pursue. We need more anesthesiologists of the African and African-American diaspora. We need that for representation's sake. And, just for medical students, it does not mean that you don't care about social determinants of health or policy or primary care and things like that. If you're a specialist, I mean, all people get surgery. You have to, remind some of my colleagues, like I've worked in some very inner city locations as an anesthesiologist. Right? It doesn't mean you're not serving your community if you're a specialist. So I want to leave that. And then to my anesthesia colleagues or just any colleagues in medicine, don't leave your passions to be a doctor. And if you've left your passions to be a doctor, pick them back up, even if it's on the weekend. If you don't do it as a, professional thing, if it's just a vocation or something that you just like to do them because it makes you you. And I realized that, pushing that down or suppressing that to be a physician, it did damage to my soul, And so that's why I'm where I am right now and trying to merge the two in some way. It doesn't mean you don't need certifications either. I didn't get on that, but I thought about the lifestyle medicine and certifications, but I don't have to do that to get started in what I'm doing. I would do it necessarily for if I wanted, and I've looked at some of their information. If I wanted to get that information, to enhance my understanding, I would do it for that purpose, not necessarily to just say, oh, I'm lifestyle medicine certified. I mean, I have an integrative pain management book that I'm looking at right now. I mean, I have all the information that I need from both sides, personal experience, seeing patients, doing all the other things for pain, right? And seeing people still have pain and they're still in pain anyway. So, right, there's different ways to cope with pain, right? And so, yeah, don't be afraid to pivot. You know, if something's not working for you, don't be afraid to pivot.
Oh, that's wonderful. And where can people hear more about what you're doing? If they want to hear your music, I want to be able to put those in the show notes.
Sure. So my personal website is preludepc.com. So they can find a little bit more about, you know, the concept and what I'm doing there and some of my music there. And then I also have a YouTube channel. So I'll give you the URLs to the channel and everything so that you can list it in the show notes and all. But yeah, I mean, you wish me luck. Starting a new venture is difficult. And I won't say that no one has done this, but not a lot of people have done it right. In this way, especially making the music themselves. So it's new, but I think it's great. I think it's just a different spin on using all the modalities we can that, you know, it's not a needle. It's not going to hurt you. Right. It's just, you know, I guess listening to sad music or angry music can make you angry, but for the most part, it doesn't hurt. Right. So it's just another way to deal with and to cope with pain. And my hope is that I'm able to help patients and I'm able to help people, period, you know, who are out there who just need to use music to its fullest capacity.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Love it. Well, thank you so much for being on, Dr. Candace Williams. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. And I just thank you for really blazing a trail and setting an excellent example of what is possible, what we can do with our medical training. We're not beholden to just one prescribed path. I hope you enjoyed this episode of SIVO Sisters. If you love this episode as much as I did, head on over and rate and subscribe so you don't miss out. New episodes drop every week on a Monday because we all can use a little something, something to get us through the week. Am I right? I'd love to hear more from you on the topics that you want to hear. So let me know in the comments. This is Dr. Peterson signing off. See you next time.